There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Good afternoon. As you can tell, this is not Sean Sullivan. It's Dr. Lou Camponosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign and adjunct professor at Spring Hill College, sitting in for Sean, who's out doing the good work of trying to find out some information about this immigration business that we have to deal with. I certainly am glad to be able to sit here and fill in for him, although my filling in is not going to be anywhere near what you're going to get with Sean. I understand that. But I did tell Sean that I would try to make sure that I have a good show for all of his listeners. And so I've put together something that I think those of you who are listening will get something out of it, which to me is important. So let me just tell you what I want to try to do this afternoon, okay? Number one, I want to concentrate on two state issues, okay? One is the toll, and the other is the whole question about what we're going to do with this State Board of Education becoming an appointed entity. I know in the past, the last time I was here, I talked about both of these issues and we had people on. We're going to do that same thing again. And you say, well, why are we doing that? It's old hat. It isn't old hat. This question about what happens with the toll is critical. And there are some things that are developing that we've got to stay on top of if we are going to make sure that the toll stays dead. So we need to really kind of, you know, feel this out, talk a little bit about it, and make sure that everyone knows what can be done to make sure that this toll stays away. The question about the State Board of Education is one that I did talk about the last time I was here, too. And I'm going to have Jackie Ziegler back on, who's our State Board of Education representative here. And we need to, you know, kind of update everyone on where we are going with this issue. And I think that the degree to which, as far as, you know, those of us who are opposed to this are just adamantly saying no to what this is nothing more than a power grab to deny you the right to vote for people who are going to be involved with your kids' education. I mean, this is one of the biggest outrages that I've seen the legislature do. One of many, okay? Let's be clear about that. Not just one thing, but how in the world that they get to this point really just astounds me. So we want to talk about this because there are some interesting developments that I want to, you know, share with Jackie, get her take on what's going on with this. So once I get finished with those two state issues, and then I will have Kevin Spriggs come in. And again, Kevin and I have been working very closely on what we're doing with this. And he and I have our own take on what's going on with the toll. So you'll hear from Jim Ziegler, you'll hear from Kevin, and then what I want to do in the last hour is bring in our congressional candidates for District 1, Jerry Carl, Bill Hightower, and Chris Pringle. I would argue that it's important for us to hear from them, not just from the standpoint of who they are, why they're running. I'll do about 2 minutes of that, and then I want to have a conversation with them. Granted, it's probably 15 minutes, but you know what? In 15 minutes, you'll get a sense of what they are thinking about in terms of policy issues. Not all this inside the Beltway Washington hoo-ha about whether Trump talked to the Ukrainians or not. Serious issues, okay, particularly about foreign policy and some domestic issues. We'll get to that, all right? So if that's the outline of what we're going to do, let me just kind of set up this whole question about, you know, Jackie Ziegler and the Board of Education. We have a grassroots movement to support the elected board, and we think it's critical that Jackie and all the other board members are the ones who really are going to carry the ball on this. While grassroots support is critical, obviously, it's also extremely important for these board members to do what's necessary to motivate the people in their district who elected them. Now, this time around, District 1, 3, 5, and 7 are all going to be up for election. Jackie is one of those in that group. And so from our perspective as a grassroots group that's trying to promote this, it's absolutely essential that these board members are with us. And I have to take, give a real, thank you to Jackie for taking the lead on the State Board of Education by doing the hard work of talking to her members, her colleagues, and then saying something, at least two of the board meetings during the summer, where she came out first to say, absolutely not. This is not going to stand. We are not going to accept an appointed board. Our people do not deserve to lose the right to vote. Now, that is a pretty strong statement. And again, I sent that, I copied it off of the SBOE website, took it to our grassroots people. They all have heard it. They've all seen it. And I would suggest to you that that kind of leadership is what is necessary if we are going to prevail. Now, I've pressed Jackie to ask her to get these other members to do the same thing. Well, to a very large degree, that has been happening, okay? Other members like Superintendent Newman, Dr. McClarty, and Dr. Reynolds have come out and said no to the appointed board. So, all that being said, yes, there are still other board members that are still in various stages of figuring out what they want to do and how they want to approach us. But it seems to me that the first step for us was to get this whole issue before the board members and let them fight for themselves. And I think that that's a good first step, and I really applaud Jackie for taking that step, because the powers that be, the governor, Senator Marsh, the state senators, the House members who voted for this, all want this to go through. So for Jackie to stand up and say, whoa, this is not going to stand, is a tremendous, task for her to undertake, and she's done it. And I think that we need to get behind her and make sure that we all prevail in this, and that to me is a critical element of the grassroots movement. The other thing that has taken place is that in August 24th, the state GOP met in Auburn, and some of our grassroots people proposed a resolution that basically said no to this amendment. The constitutional amendment is not going to be supported by the Alabama GOP. Guess what, folks? 64% of the GOP said absolutely no, we are not going to go down this road of allowing these people to take away your right to vote. And I think that's an important step in the right direction. Was it as high as I wanted? No. But I do think 64% is better than zero. And with that, we're starting to get into a little break. Here's the music. I'll be right back.
KRG News 5, I'm Devin Walsh. Citronelle police are investigating a series of fights over the past few days involving dozens of kids. The principal says it all started with the fight at McDonald's. About 50 kids were involved in that one. That fight then carried over to another on campus yesterday. Police say a third fight happened last night at Freeman's Funeral Home. About 60 to 70 kids were involved in that one. The police chief responded and tried to break up the fight and was hit by one of the kids. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey says she's doing fine after announcing last week that she's been diagnosed with cancer. Ivy told reporters she feels fine and has a good prognosis. She said, quote, we will zap it out with some radiation and be done with it. She announced last week that a malignant spot was found on her lung. The Florida Department of Transportation is planning another safety workshop for residents who live along dangerous Cervantes Street. They are conducting a study focusing on the West Cervantes area where there have been several pedestrians hit. One plan is to build a fence along certain areas of Cervantes Street to keep people from crossing in unsafe areas. Devin Walsh, WKRG News 5.
So we've all been there before. You're in a fender bender, and the next thing you got to figure out is, when are you getting your vehicle back? And the more important thing is, when are you getting your vehicle back with the repairs done properly? That's where the trusted folks at Professional Collision come in. When you bring your car to Professional Collision, you're in good hands. 40 years of experience, Professional Collision has streamlined the process of collision repair with prompt, clear, and concise estimates, a customer service team who will keep you informed every step of the way, and a restored vehicle that meets the highest quality standards at a fair market price. They've got certified technicians that are trained to know and understand the fine details of each make and model, and you can expect the highest level of quality craftsmanship. Trusted by more vehicle manufacturers, training organizations, and insurance companies than any other collision repair company on the Central Gulf Coast. You can rest assured that they take care of you like someone in their own family. And that's what's important, getting that vehicle back and getting it back fixed right. That is Professional Collision. Check them out today at professional-collision.com.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you with who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Visit Lion Fry Cadden Insurance Agency in Mobile or lionfrycadden.com.
My mom's a breast cancer survivor. The United Breast Cancer Foundation saved her life. Their free breast cancer exam caught the cancer early, and it saved her life. But now the foundation needs your help so they can continue offering free or low-cost breast screening exams, saving more women's lives. Help them by donating your car, whether it's running or not. They'll provide fast, free 24-hour pickup, and you receive a charitable tax deduction, plus the great feeling you'll get knowing your donated car is going to help save more lives. Just call 800-526-7406 to set the wheels in motion. They take cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs, running or not. Call 800-526-7406. The United Breast Cancer Foundation needs your help, and your donation could literally save women's lives, helping them catch breast cancer early, like they did with my mom. Donate today. 800-526-7406. That's 800-526-7406.
She's the leading educator and retailer of hemp CBD products in South Alabama, and she's on a mission to change the way we look at cannabis. Jennifer Boozer presents Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. With guests from every corner of the hemp industry to advocates for legalization, Jennifer leads the discussion of all things cannabis in Alabama. Join Jennifer Boozer every Monday at 7 p.m. for Sweet Home Cannabama on FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
This is Dr. Lou sitting in for Sean. Really appreciate the opportunity to speak to his audience. It's just an honor to be able to do this, and I hope I can live up to his high standards here. So, I was just talking about this whole question about the constitutional amendment that we're going to vote on March 3rd that will do away with the elected State Board of Education. And I mentioned that I was going to have Jackie Ziegler on the line, and we actually do. Jackie, welcome to the show today.
Hi, Lou. How are you today?
I'm hanging in there. I really think that, this is a really good opportunity since our last talk to kind of give people an update on where we have been since the last time you were on. And frankly, as I was saying, there have been some really positive things that have taken place along the lines of the Alabama GOP saying in their resolution that they would not support moving in the direction of getting rid of the State Board of Education as an elected entity. What are your thoughts about that, and what are some of your ideas in terms of where we have to go? Because as I suggested, the State Board members have really got to fight for themselves, and you've been doing a good job getting them to get off the dime and start talking about this as an issue that they really are going to, take hold of.
Well, thanks, Lou. And I think it was just a wonderful thing for the GOP to do that for us. It just sort of showed how important this issue is. And as we stated in the past, it's imperative that the people understand the verbiage of how the amendment is going to be written, so they know whether it's a yes vote or a no vote. So it's imperative that that the wording is put out and people understand what it is in fact stating.
You know,
we don't want the people ever to lose their voice by having their vote taken away from them as far as any any office.
And exactly.
This one has just risen to the top with them trying to take away the state school board voice.
Well, you know, you mentioned language, and one of the things that the grassroots folks are working on is making sure that the language is correctly stated, because what we saw, Grace Newcomb, who works for Secretary of State Merrill, she sent us the proposed wording. And to be quite honest with you, it doesn't meet the constitutional standard of being clear. And in fact, it does exactly the opposite. It obfuscates the whole point. And listen to just the beginning of it. Proposing an amendment to the Constitution of Alabama 1903 to change the name of the State Board of Education to the Alabama Commission on Elementary and Secondary Education to provide for the appointment of the members of the commission by the governor. I mean, Jackie, this is an issue. They don't even state it in clear terms about what the real intent here is. And the intent is to take away your right to vote. And I'll be honest with you, we have people who are on the ballot commission that are going to work with us to make sure that this language is at least meets constitutional muster. And if we do that, people are going to be able to clearly see what the stakes are here, and they're not going to have some sort of a ballot language that doesn't really lay out what is going on.
And as you well know, in the past, a yes vote sometimes means no, and a no vote sometimes means yes. So by getting the wording out early where it can be addressed and remedied, I think is an excellent first step.
Well, the ballot commission met last week, and we had one of our folks up there, and he came away just absolutely amazed at the degree to which the politics of this is all over the board, the ballot commission. Marsh was there. He gave a talk. He made sure that his view was heard. And I suppose that's all fine and dandy, but, you know, are the ballot commission members going to give us the same, opportunity to say something at their next meeting? And we certainly intend to be there to do that. Right now, we're in the process of finding other ballot commission members who think the same way we do, that this whole thing is a sham and that the language that they have proposed is not going to stand. And I hope that you and the other members of the State Board of Education will start lobbying with us to make sure that this ballot commission does the right thing.
Right. And again, as in anything, it's imperative that the word gets out. Some people don't even understand that there ever was a ballot commission. You know, the regular citizens probably weren't even aware there was such an entity. So again, a lot of times I think the way it's written was the way it has to be. But we're all learning every day, aren't we, Luke?
Yeah, we are. To this point of getting the word out, one of the things that the GOP did with its resolution, they agreed to propagate their resolution, disseminate it, make sure everyone gets the word. We have people right now who are talking to the Al Gop headquarters folks to find out exactly how they're going to do that, because in our view, they need to be running radio ads. They need to be doing the kinds of things you're doing, sending out op-eds. They need to get the word out to each of their district heads that this is something that we are not supporting, and we want this word to get out. Now, I'll be honest with you. If the GOP does its normal thing, then we're in trouble. Okay, let's just be honest about this. All they do is say the right thing, and then the legislature goes off and does whatever it wants to do, which is what the BCA wants it to do. So we have a problem with this. And if I'll be honest with you, if we find out that the GOP is actually just going to sit on this resolution and not disseminate it and not fight for it, we're going to make sure that people know about it, and it is going to come back on them. It's just like this whole business with the toll. Why is Governor Ivey just completely, you know, walking away from the people down here in South Alabama? I mean, you're talking about a fairly large number of voters who may very well just be turned off with this kind of approach.
Right. And I think what's imperative and what has been a learning curve with this toll issue will be very beneficial for this next major issue, which is, of course, appointed versus elected, is that the grassroots are nothing to sneeze at, that we are very capable of knowing how to stand up for ourselves, get the word out, rally when needs to be. So I think the momentum is definitely in our favor. Everywhere I've gone, people are very inquisitive, want to know exactly what is being asked, and are definitely in favor of keeping us as an elected board because they want their voice to be heard.
Well, and I think that that's an important point to make. The people want their voice to be heard, and that's something that we will certainly focus on in whatever we do in terms of our own messaging down the road. Let me ask you this, though, and this is, to me, an important thing that you mentioned last week it was when we were talking, that the State Board of, the AASB, the Alabama Association of State Boards, School Boards, actually did a straw poll in your district, and basically, from what you said, they all were supportive of an elected Board of Education. Is that correct?
Well, I can't say all, but, okay. You know, it was
a majority?
Again, yeah, a majority, and as you well know, a straw vote is strictly that, just
so. Right.
But, yeah, and the people there with whom I associated and mingled with and have had close relationships with over all these years have come to me, not if not then, but beforehand, or typed me a note or called me or texted
right.
me, that they are definitely in favor of keeping, because they are citizens of the state of Alabama, so they are looking at this also as a voter.
Well, let me ask you this. The question about whether or not the other districts were also straw-polled has come up, and I'm wondering, did you hear anything about that?
They were straw-polled, but I'll be honest, I was only, you know, I only got the, since I was
results.
At that meeting,
yeah.
I knew how it ended, so I don't know, but I just sort of have a feeling if it had gone anyway, but for, you know, going for the elected, I would have heard.
Right. I've also heard that the poll that has been done is very favorable to keeping the board the way it is. Is that pretty much what your sense of that is?
I'll be honest, I haven't gotten those exact numbers, so I don't want to speak about that until I know exactly what the results were.
Okay. Let me ask you this. In terms of the people who are trying to move in the direction of an appointed board, it seems to me that they have made the case that essentially the present board system is basically dysfunctional, that you all are the ones who are responsible for the crisis in Alabama education. And I know that you and I have talked about this before, but I think it's good to review, you know, this whole argument that has a false argument, in my view, that we actually, you know, need to address some of these issues. And then the other thing, too, that I find very strange is the argument that appointed boards in nationally do much better with education. Yet, in our analysis of it, 7 of the 10 top, you know, states do have appointed boards, but 6 of the bottom 10 states have appointed boards. So it seems to me it's kind of a mixed message in terms of, you know, the nature of the board, but it completely avoids the issue of allowing people to deal with educational issues through their elected officials. And I think that we've got a break coming up here in just a second. So, but I want to just kind of hang that out there for you, Jackie. And once we get back from the break, we'll take that one up, okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, good.
We must not wait. Now is the time to act.
Georgia Congressman John Lewis, the leader of the Congressional Black Caucus, says he supports an impeachment of the president. It's been triggered by a complaint alleging the president pressured Ukraine to dig dirt on Joe Biden and his son.
There was pressure put on with respect to Joe Biden. What Joe Biden did for his son, that's something they should be looking at.
Biden is said to now favor impeachment himself and is planning to make a statement on the matter later today. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says hundreds more cases have been reported to health authorities linked to vaping since last week. The CDC then put the total at 530 confirmed and probable cases of serious lung illness. 9 deaths have been linked to vaping. On Wall Street, stocks are down sharply today. The Dow is off about 200 points. I'm Mike Moss.
This information update is brought to you by Bachelor Service Heating and Air, your Daikin Comfort Pro. Call 476-4321. Service worth remembering online at bachelorservice.com. Alabama Certification 17070.
FM Talk 1065, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
We'll expect sunny skies this afternoon with temperatures in the lower 90s. Tonight, clear, lows around 70. And tomorrow, sunny and hot with afternoon readings in the mid-90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 1065.
FM Talk 1065, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Mobile Bay Coins, this is Ron.
Hey, Ron, it's Dave. Do y'all still have those engravable pet ID tags?
Sure do. Some simple round ones and some pretty popular 999 fine silver dog bones.
Ron, it's not for a dog, and the bone would be wrong, just wrong.
Okay, what'd you do now?
I took the kids to my friend's farm for a long weekend right after school started, and my daughter just loved all the animals. Until our last day there, when she asked me, "What's veal?"
Oh, no, don't tell me.
Yep, you guessed it. We're now the proud owners of a new calf, Fluffy.
Fluffy? That's utterly hilarious. Get it? Utterly?
Ron, that's not funny. When can I pick up the ID tag? And I'll need a little something nice for the missus when I break the news to her. She thinks Fluffy is a kitten.
We have an utterly fantastic set of earrings I put back for you. I guess you need to beef up her jewelry collection now, right?
Mobile Bay Coins, much more than a coin store. At 2204 Government Street, find them on Facebook and at mobilebaycoins.com.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. I'm Bob, an apartment home at Legacy Oaks, and I'm so excited. My new family is coming by today to get acquainted. I just love having a family to take care of. A lot of folks have been coming in and out, getting me ready, you know, making sure that my gas, fireplace, and oven are ready. It's always cozy when my family gathers around the fireplace. I like to give my family plenty of room so everyone has their own space, but it's always nice when we get together in my large eat-in kitchen. And you know, Mom's gonna love the large bath. It's a great place to relax in a large jacuzzi garden tub. I'll even protect the family vehicles with an attached garage. And some of my second floor brothers and sisters even have private elevators. I'm kind of secluded in a large gated community in Spring Hill on DeRue Drive with lots of green space, but real convenient to shopping, restaurants, healthcare, and minutes from I-65. There's lots more I could tell you about the amenities here at Legacy Oaks. You know, clubhouse, swimming pool, fitness room. But you can find that out for yourself on the interweb at LegacyOaksApartmentHomes.com. Or you can always call Jimmy. She's real nice. And get a tour at 344-8099. Hey, gotta go. My new family's here. I hope I see you soon. Hey, family, welcome home.
The North Baldwin Chamber of Commerce and the young professionals have teamed up with Live Oak Landing, Wild Native, and Baldwin County to present the 8th Annual Delta Dash, Saturday, September 28th at Live Oak Landing in Stockton. A new location, new course, and a new challenge will help you answer the question, are you tough enough? Register at delta-dash.org. Call 251-937-5665 and follow us on Facebook. The Delta Dash, September 28th.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. It's Dr. Lou Caponosi sitting in for Sean Sullivan. And we've got Jackie Ziegler on the line. We're having a good conversation about this whole question about the constitutional amendment to try to get rid of an elected state board of education. So, Jackie, we were talking a little bit about, you know, why it is that the critics have blamed the state board of education for the crisis in Alabama education. And I think that, you know, we've talked about this before, but I'd like you to go back over, you know, your arguments against this as we discuss, so people can understand that there's not just the principle of, you know, making sure people have a right to vote, which is important, obviously, but there are other issues associated with this that if people don't know the facts, then they are going to get confused about this whole question.
Well, and also the whole key to this also, Lou, is that people need to retain the local voice, the local vote, because the impact about their schools need to be what is important to them, what is vital to them, what are critical to them. You probably know that there were the PARCA, P-A-R-C-A, did a preliminary release of some of the results, and they look good. Our grad rate is up. The closure of the gap between those that were performing and those that were not is closing. So they're not authenticated yet, but it is a very good indicator that we're definitely moving in the right direction. The other thing that always worries me is that the people a lot of times speak about education have not even been in the classrooms in a long time, and I don't mean for a Photoshop or a photo opportunity. I mean, go in, see what's going on, talk to the kids, talk to the parents, talk to the teachers. There are marvelous, marvelous things going on. We want to just remember that, and even, you know, there is that word that they're going to try or thinking of abolishing the U.S. Education Department. So it's even more imperative that we keep our local Alabama State Board to have that voice for the people, not those predetermined voices that the legislators want.
Well, exactly, and I think that this whole question of labeling the State Board of Education dysfunctional is just a stretch when you consider how dysfunctional the legislature has been. I mean, this is an incredible, you know, way of trying to, you know, smear the Board of Education as being dysfunctional when, you know, you can make the same case for what went on in the legislature this past session. So dysfunctionality is something which may be in the eyes of the beholder, but it also seems to me, you know, demonstrably false when you look at how the Board of Education has done over the past decade or so. 2003, the board, you know, instituted the Alabama Reading Initiative. By 2009, all the scores were going in the right direction. Now, again, we can, you know, talk about scores and all like that, testing. I understand that, but there has to be some sort of benchmarking, some accountability. So the argument that what the board was doing in 2003 to 2009 was good, that gets flushed away. And what ends up happening, and then this is my particular argument, that once Common Core was adopted, and yes, the board did vote for it, Betty Peters and Stephanie Bell didn't vote for it, but the board was under the sway of Governor Riley, and, you know, it's kind of hard to say no when, you know, you've got the governor pushing hard for this. But my point is, Common Core is one of the things that, in my view, has created the crisis of education in Alabama in the last 8 years.
Well, and if you look at the budget that we just presented, and as you know, all that the state board does is that we present the board and then it goes over to the legislators. But we have asked for full funding back of the Alabama Reading Initiative because we know exactly when it is funded fully and implemented to fidelity, it is top notch. And right. So we are definitely moving back where we're getting the reading coaches back, the avenues in which, you know, the help for the kids, and working all, you know, closely, and again also with all the different avenues to get what needs to be done. And people need to remember that we're the state board of education. We are responsible for all the children, not just those in our district. And of those, all the students and all those with any type of, you know, special needs, or those gifted, or those that are just going down a career mode, going to, you know, different technical opportunities. Things are just working really well. And I wish more and more people, instead of talking ugly about what the schools are like, just go in, go see what's going on. And there are marvelous things that are going on in those classrooms, of which we need to brag on our hardworking educators, all the teachers who put their blood, sweat, and tears, the assistants that help them, the, you know, the administrators, you know, all of them. It's a whole package, from the bus drivers to the CNP. It's just a wonderful, hardworking team, and we need to be applauding them and not, you know, putting them down.
Right. Well, I think that when you look at the totality of the effort that's already been put out in terms of the grassroots negative reaction to this constitutional amendment, it certainly gives me heart that we have a fighting chance here. And I think that to the degree that you've been able to get your fellow board members to come out in opposition, let me just ask you this. I know that you've said that Newman, Reynolds, and McClarty have been in opposition. What about some of the other members? What's your sense there?
Well, they all have their own voice, and so it's imperative that I think that each of those districts need to talk to their school board members and find out, you know, where do you stand, and find out. So, you know, I always find it imperative that, you know, people in those districts need to be talking to their board members and letting them know how they feel about things. You know, we all need to be in this together.
Right. Well, it's one of the things that we are trying to do, is to identify people in each of the districts to go and talk, sit down, and make a difference, you know, with their
exactly.
board member. And I think that's true. But I do think that it certainly helps when, you know, someone of your stature and someone, you know, who has been involved with this and has already spoken out. I think that certainly, you know, sets the stage for you to approach people. And I think that we just have to kind of see how long we want to wait before people start making, board members make that decision to come out publicly. And at some point, if they don't do it, then I think that it may be, you know, time for you to perhaps intervene a little bit, you know, more forcefully, to just push them. I mean, they have until November, if the district is in a voting mode, then they have to make a commitment. But I would say that by November, at least, if some of the board members are just kind of treading water, I don't think that's acceptable, to be honest with you.
Well, and as you said, that will be a choice that they need to make. And I think that there are more and more. I think timing is everything. And I think some of them have their own timetable, of which you must be respectful of that. And some came out, like Stephanie Bell came out from day one against it. So, you know,
right.
There are those that have their own timetable. And that, as you say, by November, December, things ought to be cooking with death.
Yeah, I would think so. If they're not cooking, they just might get a little heat on them, I'll tell you that.
Good point.
We'll just get Jim Ziegler to put those names up on block the toll, you know.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, Jackie, we've got about a minute before our next break. Kind of summarize what you're hoping here in the next couple of months as we move forward towards dealing with this upcoming election.
Well, I think, again, you know, as the public is becoming aware, and all that is talking and getting the word out, and as you said, I've been invited to various, like, women's groups and chamber groups and to be discussing it, thanking you for allowing me to come on the radio, and to just let people know that it's out there. And as soon as the wording is definite, then we need to let that be known Is it a yes vote or will be a no vote? And that is imperative.
Okay. Jackie, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. Thank you for all your efforts. And be safe on the road, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you again for the invite, Dr. Lewis.
Sure. Bye-bye. Well, I hear that magic music. Dalton's got it ready to go, and we're off to another break, and I'm hoping that we'll have Jim Ziegler on the line in a few minutes. Take care.
For WKRG News 5, I'm Devin Walsh. Citronelle police are investigating a series of fights over the past few days involving dozens of kids. The principal says it all started with the fight at McDonald's. About 50 kids were involved in that one. That fight then carried over to another on campus yesterday. Police say a third fight happened last night at Freeman's funeral home. About 60 to 70 kids were involved in that one. The police chief responded and tried to break up the fight and was hit by one of the kids. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey says she's doing fine after announcing last week that she's been diagnosed with cancer. Ivy told reporters she feels fine and has a good prognosis. She said, quote, "We will zap it out with some radiation and be done with it." She announced last week that a malignant spot was found on her lung. The Florida Department of Transportation is planning another safety workshop for residents who live along dangerous Cervantes Street. They are conducting a study focusing on the West Cervantes area where there have been several pedestrians hit. One plan is to build a fence along certain areas of Cervantes Street to keep people from crossing in unsafe areas. Devin Walsh, WKRG News 5.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. The UAW strike at GM is now in its ninth day, a work stoppage that has led to temporary layoffs for thousands of workers at GM facilities in the U.S. and Canada who aren't involved in the walkout. GM has furloughed more than 1,200 employees at engine plants in Ohio and Canada. These temporary layoffs add to the 2,000 at GM's assembly plant in Oshawa, Canada, who were furloughed last week because of the strike. Add federal prosecutors in California to the list of those investigating Juul Labs. The Wall Street Journal says federal prosecutors from the state's Northern District are in the early stages of a criminal probe into the e-cigarette maker, which has come under increasing scrutiny by state and federal officials in the wake of reports of hundreds of vaping-related lung diseases and now 9 deaths. Juul's marketing practices are being investigated by the Federal Trade Commission, the Food and Drug Administration, and several state attorneys general. U.S. stocks are extending their losses at mid-session. The Dow Industrial is now down 176 points. The Nasdaq's down 115. The S&P lower by 26. That's Your Money Now.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent, like Prudential and Mutual of Omaha, and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-507-2266. That's 800-507-2266. 800-507-2266. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hey, my buddy Sid Sexton back in studio and talking irrigation. It's hot out there, Sid.
It's super hot. I mean, brutal hot.
And not only is it hot on we humans, it's hot on our yards, too.
Yeah, the plants, and particularly your grass, is probably struggling right now to get enough water and run it through the system. So, if you have any flaws in your irrigation system, you're going to start seeing it with hot spots, brown spots in the grass, probably around some of the edges if it's not, the arc isn't opening up well enough. Yeah, you're going to start seeing some issues in your irrigation system if it's not running well.
I guess a lot of us think, hey, man, I got sprinklers, I got irrigation, I'm good, but we sure it's covering every part of it.
It really helps to have a technician come out and go through that. And so that's the service we provide.
Okay, so we want to do that. Have y'all come out and look at our irrigation system. Give us some ways to get in touch with you.
Well, you can find us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. You can DM us there, or you can look us up online, sextonlandscapes.com.
Why should you call ProTint to protect your valuable assets from sun damage? Factory tinted glass on trucks and SUVs are only good for privacy purposes. The professionals at ProTint use quality ceramic films on all windows to create a much cooler interior. Ceramic films also increase durability and provide superior protection against interior damage. Plus, ceramic films are metal-free, glare-resistant, and shatter-resistant. For a no-fault lifetime warranty on all jobs, call ProTint 802-1234. That's 802-1234.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, this is Dr. Lou Campagnosi back here again. We just got finished with a great discussion with Jackie Ziegler about the State Board of Education question. And now I'm going to invite her husband. You know, I'll tell you what, the state agitator is on the line waiting. And I think, Jim, I really appreciate you coming on with us. I know you've got a busy schedule. But we do want to try to follow up on where we are with this toll question. Ever since the Eastern Shore MPO spiked it, we've seen some things happen that certainly suggest that retribution may very well be the name of the game here. Chris Elliott got fired from the Senate Transportation Committee, and his replacement is a Democrat from Mobile, Senator Vivian Figures, who voted against the gas tax too, but nevertheless that didn't make any difference. They put her on. I know that at the Eastern Shore MPO meeting last month, there were very real concerns raised that retribution was going to be part of the mixture going forward if the MPO decided that they were not going to support the toll plan. So my question to you at this particular juncture is, given where we are, what's your lay of the land look like?
Well, our plan right now is very simple. The final vote on the TIP plan, which is the Transportation Improvement Plan, is tomorrow. It's at 10 a.m. tomorrow at the Spanish Fort City Hall. This is the voting meeting, the final voting meeting of the Eastern Shore Metropolitan Planning Organization. And if ever there was going to be a chance for the toll to resurrect itself, this would be the time. So I'm going to that meeting, and some of our toll opponents are going to be there. So we can thank those eight members of that board that courageously stood up to Aldott and removed the toll from the plan. And then they'll proceed to finalize the plan tomorrow. So that's our focus right now, 10 a.m. Wednesday at the Spanish Fort City Hall, and we are inviting opponents of the toll to come out with us tomorrow.
Well, I think that's certainly a good plan, and we'll be getting that word out through Common Sense Campaign, too. And I think that, you know, the word that I hear is that the Eastern Shore MPO is not going to do anything to undo what they did back in August. Is that basically what you're hearing?
Yes, absolutely. We don't expect any surprises. We expect the full board to adopt the final TIP plan without the I-10 toll or without an I-10 bridge, would adopt the remainder of the plan. And we would be very surprised if anything other than that happened. Nevertheless, we're going to be vigilant. Even after tomorrow, we're going to be observant, and we're going to try to make sure that somebody somewhere doesn't try to bring the toll plan back.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. Considering one of the major players in all this who was for the toll was Aldott Director Cooper. Have you heard anything more about what his status is, given the fact that you had called for his firing, and most of us feel that he was principally responsible with his arrogant attitude, not even trying to find alternative funding for the project?
Well, that's absolutely correct. Aldott Director John Cooper was for the toll, the whole toll, and nothing but the toll. He was just obsessed with the idea that he could get in this multi-billion-dollar partner in here, and that he would be able to control where the money goes and what's done with it.
Right.
And so I did send a request to the governor and said five reasons why any corporation or agency would have fired him already. And I have not gotten a response from that yet, and nothing's happened. So after tomorrow, when the thing's finalized, we may go to phase two of our attempt to run off the instigator of the soul, John Cooper.
Well, you'll certainly have our full backing on that that approach. Let me just ask you this now. Here we are, you know, looking down the road. What is your sense of what is possible given the chaos inside the administration? I mean, Ainsworth came out against the toll, called it a violation of conservative principles. Is there any chance that Humpty Dumpty is going to get put back together in a fashion that is along the lines of what we have argued, which is a scaled-down version of the bridge plan, keeping the bayway, and you know, going from there?
Absolutely. There's going to be a survey run by the Mobile Metropolitan Planning Organization, and we'll start studying that and figure out what it is that we need to input into that starting Thursday, and we will get citizens of Mobile County to respond to that survey. And more or less half of our people believe that we need a basic bridge,
right,
but not a Taj Mahal, and that it can be funded with existing funds, and I can show them where those existing funds are. The other half of our people believe that we don't need a bridge at all. You can fix the existing Wallace tunnels and the I-10 Bayway for way less than the amounts of monies and no toll. So we can submit both of those options on this survey to the Mobile Planning Organization.
Jim, this Mobile Planning Organization that's meeting this Thursday, is that their regularly scheduled meeting that that I understand was postponed, but because I know that there are issues in terms of bringing forward to them our own plans. Now, do you think that people will have an opportunity to speak to, down the road, what we really think needs to be done, or do you think that this is just going to be pretty much restricted to questions about the survey and what they want to do with it?
I'm not 100% sure, but I do believe that there'll be something like an October 11th deadline for the survey, and we'll be putting information up on our Facebook group, Block the Mobile Bayway Toll, as to what the people should try to input into the survey, how to do it, the link to it, and the deadline. And we'll know more about that Thursday.
Okay. Jim, I'm about to run out of time here. I really appreciate your taking the time to come in and call in with us and illuminate exactly, where we are with this situation and what you're trying to do to make sure that this toll stays dead. Thank you so much. You take care.
Attention Mobile, grand opening, final phase, one day only, Saturday, September 28th. 9 acres subdivided into 3 estate-sized lots, 3 acres, 300 feet dockable waterfront, 10 minutes from Mobile, starting at only $129.9. Paved, curbed roads, and underground utilities. As an added bonus, the owners are closing out the remaining waterfront properties in phase one. Deeply discounted prices up to $15,000 off. Again, one day only, Saturday, September 28th. Imagine owning 100 feet of dockable waterfront property from $59.9. Only a few lots remain, so call for an early appointment. Imagine coming home, jumping on your boat, heading out on Mobile Bay. Enjoy fishing, boating, swimming, or just relaxing on the water. Definitely beats working in the backyard. 100 feet, dockable waterfront from $59.9. 3-acre state-sized lots, 300 feet dockable waterfront from $129.99. Call or click 877-BIG-VIEW.com for an early appointment. That's 877-BIG-VIEW, 877-BIG-VIEW, 877-244-8439.
Presented by Orchard Management.
Turning up your voice. FM Talk 106.